Welcome to a special edition of the 155 Election Podcast, the Ward 8 Hamilton City Council by-election. Episode 161.
Frank Leonard Ducey, you are running for City Councilor in the Ward 8 by-election. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an engineer. I have an MBA and I'm a builder. So we've lived on West 50 or 695 West 5th was built by my dad and our family and a few other homes along the way. And what I see now is there's a lack of understanding with respect to zoning and with respect to small builders contributing to the housing crisis and the climate crisis. So what we're missing are trained people to do the work of people like myself that are closer to retirement.
Why are you running for Ward 8 Councillor and why should we vote for you?
Well, I think I'm the best candidate to bring this message of we're in a crisis. And what I see at the City Hall, I've been working there as not a consultant, but following what's going on there. And I see a lack of urgency. What I see is a business as usual versus in a crisis mode. You try to do as much as you can, as quickly as you can, and we're not doing that. And we're falling behind rather than getting ahead.
Do you live in Ward 8, yes or no?
No.
What are your thoughts on residency and representation?
I think you should be living in the ward. Yeah, spiritually, I've never left the ward because I grew up in it. And whether elected or not, I've been looking at moving back into the ward.
What are two of your citywide priorities for Hamilton?
It's housing, and it's affordable housing. So it's sustainable affordable housing. So we're looking at net zero, that means sustainable, eco-friendly, and affordable. We can do all three because there's federal funding if you build something that's 30% affordable. And the other 70% can be at market rates or above market rates, and that's a good way to integrate people that maybe a couple of rungs below the ladder that you and I might be at and need some help with some social housing. Social housing tends to be not in my backyard. But if it's introduced in the right way, and I'm not saying that deep affordable housing shouldn't be looked at, but that shouldn't be looked at only when excluding the other avenues of bringing more houses on board, especially for seniors. Well, the second priority is almost the same as the first. It's the climate crisis, right? If we build sustainable houses, then we can use that knowledge to retrofit buildings and make them more energy efficient, reduce our carbon footprint. So that's a second major priority.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 8?
Ward 8, they just recently made an announcement, July the 31st, here at the St. Joe's Hospital grounds, right, the big, what we called OH, Ontario Hospital. And it was a psychiatric hospital years back when I was in the ward. And all of a sudden, Shiegel Villages gets to buy surplus land that's been surplus for 5 years without anybody knowing about it. I find out for the first time, July 31st, and I've been with the city since November 2022 and not aware of that opportunity. What we need then in the ward is to look at other opportunities within the ward to build affordable housing or for seniors. What we're looking at, low-rise facilities that can get the empty nesters like myself, who's living in a five-bedroom house, out. But I'm afraid to move to some of the options that we have. So what we want to do is create good options for people to move out of their homes and feel comfortable that they're going to be happy where they're going. And we want to integrate seniors with the community. So we'd like to have a small pool or maybe an ice rink. So when the grandkids come, there's something to do. What we've done is we've pigeonholed and isolated seniors, and we've isolated so much in the zoning that nothing's happening.
The city of Hamilton is facing a fiscal crisis. According to the city's own financial projections, Hamilton's discretionary reserve is forecast to be down to just $1 in 2027. The city's last fiscal update was in November 2023, so none of us know the current state of city finances. In November 2026, the new council term begins. Decisions will have to be made. What are your thoughts on this coming fiscal cliff, and how are you going to approach budgeting?
The first thing is we're going to have to put a hiring freeze in just to see where we're at, do some consultation with the budgeting office of where the money is being spent, and reallocate resources. What I think is if we put more shovels in the ground, we increase the tax base, and that's the way to get out of this hole that we're in, is get people working, get Hamilton, which has got creative minds and creative people with solutions, get them to get us out of this hole by putting more shovels in the ground.
As Ward 8 Councillor, you will have around $2 million per year in discretionary funds to allocate. How do you plan to manage these funds?
There's a number of ways of using those funds to improve the opportunities for people, especially here in Ward 8, where we have a Mohawk College. We have a number of students that are trying to get into a reasonable job. And I think I'd use that money for training for seniors to help train the next generation of workers.
You're promising to improve City Hall. I'm feeling exhausted on this topic because I heard every candidate in the 2022 change election promise they were going to make City Hall transparent. If elected, you'll have 1 year inside City Hall before the new council term begins in November 2026. How will you use the coming year to prepare an action plan on transparency?
I will demand that the people in planning get moving and identify any place in Hamilton that can support housing. So whether it's zoned for housing or not, for example, in Oakville, not in my backyard, right? Sally Ann puts in, which is a Salvation Army, 41-bed facility, a crisis center. Nobody wanted it in Oakville. They ended up putting it in Employment Lands, which is next to a light industrial park, and it fits quite well. So creative thinking. The people there are creative, but they're not thinking creatively.
October 8th, you'll be sworn into office and take your seat in the council horseshoe. On that day, council will vote on zoning reforms, including upzoning Upper James between the Link and Rymel, and residential zoning reform to permit medium-density missing middle housing along minor and major arterial roadways. The housing crisis will be a literal day one issue for you. How will you approach planning approvals, and how will you use zoning reform to address housing shortages?
We need to fast-track that process. That's a good initiative. If you go down to the Bayfront, there's low density buildings there that have been on the books since Bob Bertina, and they've been for sale for 5 years. I found out about it in March. Why is it that no one, when I ask for a price, they won't even give me a price on the land? What's going on at City Hall?
Let's discuss development charges. Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish was elected on June 10, 2024. She formed a housing task force that first met on July 10th and issued a comprehensive report 6 months later in January 2025. The report's action plan was implemented by a unanimous vote of Mississauga City Council. It creates deep incentives for new market affordable and family housing and has time limits to ensure developers actually build. This proves municipalities can respond quickly to housing market conditions. What are your thoughts on development charges? Do you have goals for development charge reform, and how will you approach this issue if elected?
I think the province answered the question. The province gave direction to the municipalities of taking development charges and putting them on the back end. So once the development is finished, then the person starts paying his development charges. Don't forget, we're talking about development charges. Development charges have already been addressed by the province, and the city just needs to follow the instructions. It's for private developers building private for-profit facilities. The development charges go on the back end. And so they don't have these front-end costs and the time that it takes to get site plan approval and the time it takes to get rezoning. Those kinds of things just add costs to the job. And normally they have to just bury it and then add it to the price of the units. For sustainable, affordable housing, the development charges are waived. Okay, so there are no development charges there. And that's what we should be focused on, because we can bring in money from the federal government. The federal government announced, what, $2 billion? And today I heard coming in that the opposition is screaming that they haven't, they've talked the talk, but they haven't walked the walk. The money's there. Hamilton in the past have turned down federal funding for affordable housing, especially for the small to medium-sized buildings. I don't understand it, and that's what we need to fix.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 8. Upper James is by far Hamilton's most dangerous road, with nearly every section significantly more dangerous than average for both motorists and pedestrians. What's your plan to address safety on Upper James? Does your plan include unpopular but necessary changes? And if so, how do you plan to implement it?
I think I need to figure out, why is it so dangerous? What's the difference between driving on Upper James, driving on Garth, driving on West 5th? Is there a signage issue? Are the sidewalks too small? Let's talk to the businesses that are there and see what the solutions they would like to propose with respect to safety. Of course, we need to look after pedestrians. Do we have enough signage? Do we have too much signage? Is it a speed issue? So I think it needs some study as to why accidents happen, and investigate the accidents that have happened, and how could we make them preventable? Then we can come to a solution.
What is your overall plan to address road safety?
I think I've answered it. It's just compare one road, and it in Upper James, you mentioned it. Is it the bottom, is it from Fennel to the Mountain Brow? Is it at where the Mountain Arena is there, Hester, where a lot of people are turning left? Obviously, left-hand turns are dangerous, period. And right-hand turns usually might clip a pedestrian because the guy's not paying attention. So we've got to either slow traffic down or analyze what's going on and how to improve it.
Hamilton City Council meetings. Attendance, respect, and focus are all issues. I want to ask you about one specific issue. Councillors leaving, not attending, or not focusing attention on public delegations. What expectation will you set for yourself when it comes to listening to delegations as a councillor?
Well, I'd like to listen to delegations as a councillor. I was snubbed pretty badly by the former city councillor here. You only get 5 minutes. I paid $2,000 to get a formal consultation with the city. I thought, you know what, this is easy. I'm providing you with a beautiful plan for affordable housing. And after the 5 minutes are up, Councillor Danko said, we shouldn't have these kinds of people coming in. They should really be going to staff first. Well, staff eventually got to me 6 weeks later. And the planning committee that I attended was 4 weeks from the date that I announced I wanted a formal consultation with the city. So, you know, be respectful of the people. People out there, I know the issue with 1494 Upper Wellington. The residents feel that planning is going on without their input. So we've got to listen to the people. It's government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's not government of the planners for the big developers to hoodwink the elected officials.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
I think city services aren't too bad with respect to, marriage license, whatever you need to do. But what I find is on the planning side, people are very helpful. You walk in the ground floor, they send you to the third floor, they send you to the fifth floor, and you get the information that you want. And then the seventh floor is off limits because those are the planners. Nobody can talk to them. So, the services are good. The people are fine, but they just need to understand we're in a crisis mode. We're not at business as usual. We need to focus and work hard to get shovels in the ground. That's the message. you don't have to drive too much in Hamilton to realize there's a lot of potholes. And so if that could be addressed, well, what is the issue there? I don't know. But if we could expedite road improvements, I think that's one thing that a lot of people that I talk to are upset about.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
The quality of life in Hamilton is great, right? We have a beautiful escarpment. We have Confederation Park. In Oakville, they have Bronte Park, and they've recently opened up a provincial park where you can actually camp there, seasonal camping. Why can't we have better access to Confederation Park? Why can't we have seasonal camping there or yurts and maybe even year-round? So start with something. If you need to get the province involved and make it a provincial park, a small area, it's gorgeous down there. And the Oakville people, they're on the other side of the QEW. There's nothing there. It's just a farmer's field. But it's used quite a bit. So people want to get away from their houses for a little while. They don't want to drive for hours and hours. And we've got a beautiful waterfront that we use and people use, but we could make better use of. The second item to improve the quality of life of Hamiltonians is, again, to getting people working so that we can increase the prosperity of all people in Hamilton. And that prosperity then can be funneled into social programs because there is a need to help people that are, you know, homeless, and that requires money. So the prosperity comes and the money comes, and you can solve some of the social issues that are plaguing our city.
It's August 2026. I'm writing a review of the four-year council term that's just ending. What three words do you hope I'll use to describe your 10 months as a city councilor?
Frank moved mountains.
What experience has most motivated you to seek a seat on Hamilton City Council?
Well, my dad was a part-time builder. I'm sort of a small-time builder. I'm an engineer by trade, so we've been involved with designing nuclear plants, working on the high-voltage transmission lines. And now that information, and I think I need to share it with people, and that's the best way to do that is to get elected to raise my profile. But I've been trying for the last 2 years or so to work behind the scenes, out of the shadows, you know, out of the limelight, and been frustrated. Frustrated. I don't know if it's ageism, but you make requests for meetings, and people just ignore you.
Thank you. That's the end of the questions. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
Wake up, Hamilton. We need to do better than this. We are better than this. And we need to get shovels in the ground to get people back to work or people working, especially our young people. Our young people, there's a high unemployment. I think it's in the teens or maybe even over 18 or 20% unemployment in our youth. That can create crime issues. That can create social issues. We need seniors to help us to build more homes using the strength of our young people.
Thank you for joining us.